Are You Playing?
Hello, and welcome to What the Bleep Are You Playing? A podcast where we play a game many times bad and tell you why the bleep we played it.
I paid for the episode. I get to do the introductions. We have Sean Noah, Thomas Ray, Mason Asnable, and Bleepheads. I have now returned Jazz, Nightmare of Solomon, and we played Gundam Dynasty Warriors 3.
Did you pay for the cool nickname too?
I did.
So, we have our second Bleephead tier game in one season.
That is true.
But different from the last Bleephead tier game, Jazz also barged in and insisted to play with us and podcast with us.
Because Chris lives about 8 hours away, it's much harder for him.
And so, we get a guest appearance for a second time in a season.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
And all it took was to pay us.
Like $60 total.
So we played Gundam Dynasty Warriors 3, which, you know, if you've played a Dynasty Warriors game, that's what we played.
I don't want to say they all play the same, but
most of them play the same.
I was going to say, mostly because I haven't played any others.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things that Dynasty Warriors, the franchise, that what they've done with a lot of these is when they've jumped over into different licenses, Gundam, One Piece, Hyrule Warriors, things like that.
Done what we like to do with our pitches. Just be like, what if we did this with this?
Exactly. They kind of get to do that fun thing, and you get to, you know, play as a Gundam in this and wipe out as many creatures as you can.
Was Hyrule Warriors developed by the Dynasty Warriors guys?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. I just thought they stole that formula.
Nope, it was the actual Dynasty Warriors.
Straight up ripped them off.
So, but Gundam Dynasty Warriors is the third entry, as with the three in it. I know, big surprise here.
Oh, shit.
I thought it was the seventh.
You're lucky it wasn't like 002012 or whatever.
We're not going off of Final Fantasy rules, and it's like the sixth.
Dynasty Warriors Gundam anime.
It's not even Final Fantasy rules. That's just American release rules.
No, that's anyways. Resident Evil rules, if we're going.
That's
the
true.
The third game is like... The third game. It was the fourth that was like the ninth.
Well, no, if it was Resident Evil rules, the games would be called something entirely different in Japan.
That is true.
Well, I mean, this game was called Gundamu Musou Sun in Japan.
Good job, Sean.
I'm sure that Gundamu part was like the hardest.
Gundam Musou 3.
What does that mean?
Gundam Musou 3.
Okay.
Gundam.
I could tell you
what does that mean in Japanese.
What Gundam actually does mean. It would be a long tangent though, so I kind of have to stop myself. It's named after the metal that it is used to create the original Gundam suit.
Huh.
Interesting.
Which is found on the moon, and they combine it with steel to make. No. I'm stopping.
Push
it means a big robot.
Yeah,
it means big robot with gun and sword and war and child soldiers a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You cannot tell. My Gundam knowledge has not increased at all since last
time. I was going to say, like, you know.
There's mine.
Mine has, technically.
Mine has stayed about the same. I still am thinking a lot about G Gundam. Anyway.
Hey, at least you got some representation from that this time.
It's true.
And I got my Zeta representation.
This game is just fun. I think that's the starting point for us, is that this game is fun, despite the fact that it was not particularly well reviewed.
Really?
Outside of Eurogamer, who was like, this game is amazing. Everywhere else was kind of either middling.
It was like 5 to 6 out of mm-hmm. 10s.
And then IGN's 4.5 out of 10.
I will find an address.
But I love Eurogamer's review on it. They gave it an 8 out of 10, and this is their review. If you have never tried a Musou game before, this is the game you should start.
What's a Musou?
It's the name for Dynasty Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors.
What do you think we've been saying for this whole time?
To be fair, it did take until that moment for me to also put that together. I just realized it quietly instead of being stupid.
Sometimes I should think before I speak.
I kept my dumb thoughts in my brain.
Inside. Anyways.
But despite the fact that it wasn't amazingly reviewed, this game is really fun. And I think, like any Dynasty Warriors game, with the co-op capability, just increases the fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Dynasty Warriors, I said this while we were playing, I'm going to say it here. Dynasty Warriors games based on a franchise, you do not make new fans.
No.
You are made for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if you are a fan of Gundam, you're going to like this.
It's, yeah. As far as, like, being a game for the fans, that is absolutely what I would describe it as first and foremost. Almost, like, you could just make that case with the roster. Because this game includes it's the largest. I'm pretty sure it's the largest roster in any game, other than maybe Gundam Battle Operation.
It's a big roster, 120 characters.
Yeah.
So many different combinations.
Yeah, there's. I believe when I did the math, when we were first talking about this episode, there is 80 playable characters and like 120 something mobile suits.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and again. The studio that made the game, Omega Force, this is what they do. They make Dynasty Warriors games. They make games with giant rosters that you slash through hordes of faceless enemies. And while the gameplay can be a little repetitive at times, fun.
Again, it's if you're a fan of this franchise, you're not going to care about the repetitiveness. You're going to care about, oh, I'm playing as Gundam XYZ. And slashing through 7 million fucko robots with one slash.
And then insert Dark Gundam or Dragon Gundam or any other random Gundam pops in and you have to fight them and it's fun.
Oh wow. I've been playing on a mission alongside Camille Badan and we've made it to the enemy base and whoa, it's Jared Mesa and it's like I know these people. he's in the Bjarlin, which is a admittedly, a mobile suit he got halfway through the series. But Camille was also in a... I'm stopping myself again.
But there is that part of it, too, where it's like, you know, if you're a Gundam fan, if you're deep in the Gundam rabbit hole, then there's a lot for you here. But there's also... It doesn't feel alienating, if that makes any sense. Like, there's an element to it that's just, like, that part of our, like... That lizard brain part of everyone, where it's like, ooh, giant robot is cool.
Fire cannon into hordes.
Yes, that transcends like language and everything.
It's
like,
why that franchises that have been in this formula just all seem to work, because it's just that Mason is correct, that part of your brain that's like, ooh, I like just taking whatever character from this franchise and taking out hordes. It's why Pirate Warriors is ridiculously fun. I like using Luffy's stretchy arms to just destroy people left and right.
It's the same part of the brain that I think speaks to fans of like games like the modern Doom games.
Mm-hmm.
Those really quick shooting games.
It is the ultimate power fantasy.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But it is this one, and the series with Gundam are dripped in Gundam stuff. You have to visual novel it. You get to see all the characters interact and talk with each other. You get English voice acting you get the dating sim.
Yeah. I will never, it's probably a core memory that has been formed tonight. We were walking through the tutorial. It was right after the tutorial and we had to go read a small chapter of a visual novel in order to continue into the game. And while I was in the area where that chapter is contained, there is micro chapters for each unlocked character at the time, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. The sim's kind of like a dating sim, where, like, you can interact, and, like, you can have conversations with all these different characters. And the, like, I would describe the look Sean gave me as wide-eyed embarrassment for me. For getting so excited, because I'm like, oh, I can have a small visual novel moment with Cote and Rocky, and I'm excited about it.
Romancing the gun.
I did say the words out loud, I want to kiss...
Amato.
It was Gato. I want to kiss Gato on the lips. And I don't even like men.
This really was that fun sit with your friends experience. And I mean, we've said that a bunch throughout many games on this podcast that, you know, we really do enjoy sitting down with your friends and playing video games. And the Dynasty Warriors co-op really, really lends to that.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, four times while I was playing tonight, I would stop in the middle of a crowd of enemies and move the camera around, and I'd be like, ooh, these are Nemos from, like, 0079. They're amphibious mobile suits. And, oh, that's a Gaza C. It's a transforming mobile suit that was developed by Neo Zeon for Zeta Gundam. And it's like, I got so stupidly excited explaining dumb little grunt suits.
It's the Gundam playground you wish was real.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's basically, it's taking all of the Gundam models you have and very carefully smashing them together so the pieces don't fall off.
Yes.
Very, very carefully, just tink, tink, tink.
It's basically what happens in my mind when I'm trying to pose mobile suits.
But if we were to dive a bit into the actual, like, gameplay of it, I mean, it is a Dynasty Warrior game. You push your button to slash. You push your button to shoot. You have some special buttons to do some special attacks. You have your dashes. And, yeah, and you just go to town with those.
Yeah. I don't think I ever really figured out how to do the special moves. I just kind of...
It was just different combos of slash and shoot.
Okay.
So square triangle is one attack. Square triangle is another attack. Oh, square triangle is a third.
Mm-hmm. See, that's probably why I accidented myself into doing it a couple times, because I kept switching between square and triangle.
Yeah, combos don't work like a normal beat 'em up where it's square triangle square. It's square triangle. Square triangle.
So yeah, just alternating back and forth.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of the simplicity of the Dynasty Warriors games, and specifically this one, and I think that's why Eurogamer was correct in saying that this is a good entry point, is it is a very simple game.
Yeah.
It is very, very simplistic, and if you're going to get into the style of game, this is a good one to start with, because you're like, hey, yeah, I would want to learn the combos and do them, but you don't have to learn them to win the game. You can get by punching square and triangle at random points. You can get through it, but lots of your points and level up, and it's not a game where you need tremendous skill to get through.
Yeah. And I think they could have very easily gone, like, they could have easily done the thing that I don't like, and I'm sorry to say this, Thomas, the thing that I don't like about fighting games that are, like, very combo heavy, where, like, you have to do, like, crazy button combos to be good at the game. I feel like they could have easily done that here in this style of game, and I like that they didn't. Maybe the option to do that would make it more interesting.
I think even like a Xenoverse style hold L2, and it's like you have three special moves that are selectable, and when you hold L2 and hit a button.
That's what One Piece Pirate Warriors does.
Yeah.
Pirate Warriors has you hold the trigger and you press one of the face buttons and you give a special attack.
I think I would have preferred that to the actual combo system that this game has, because one of my complaints is that I often miss the combo I'm trying to do, because at some point when you're 600 kills into a combo, it becomes not square, square, triangle. It becomes square, 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 triangle, square, 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 triangle, square, 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 triangle. And so I think having that option would have been a lot better.
The Pirate Warriors does both, spoiler, but it does both. You can do a square, square, triangle, square, square, triangle, or and you get super special moves when you hold the trigger.
Okay.
Yeah. Most of my notes this episode is going to be comparing it to Pyro Warriors because that's the one I play a lot.
Yeah.
Because, hey, I'm a One Piece fan. Those games are meant to appeal to fans. Like, this is meant to appeal to Gundam fans.
Yeah, you know what? At least we have we have more fans of incredibly convoluted, long-running anime series.
You know what? You're right. It's just very different ways it's long-running. Yeah. At least you're not the same story for 20 goddamn years.
Technically,
not the same series.
Not the same series.
Let's put it like that.
The UC timeline is technically one whole story that spans, oh my god, I think starts in 0079, technically before, if we're counting Origin. I think Gundam Unicorn takes place in UC 096. So it's roughly the whole series since 1979 of mainline Gundam titles has covered, doing math in my head, roughly 28 years.
Wow.
And then there's me, who, you know, can tell you, you know, every time we do a Dragon Ball game, Mason asks, so what's canon and what isn't? And I'll mention GT, and I'm like, it's also not canon.
Oh, I did ask that at one point.
You asked that every Dragon Ball
every episode. Single Dragon Ball episode.
Really?
Yes. And I'm like, yeah, you know, look, I have one series that's not canon, but it's technically been, everything's been going on. Dragon Ball's been airing for 40 something years. You know? So yes, long-running animes.
For One Piece, it's hilarious because this thing has been going on for over 20 years at this point. How long do you think it's been in-universe? That's right, 2 years.
You and, children.
And most of it's a time skip.
Gundam's yep. been going for on 50 now.
Yeah, but you at least have 28 years in
true,
canon.
Yeah.
In
well, canon. Okay, technically, I never have this... Gundam doesn't have the canonicity argument or that problem because everything's canon. Stuff happens. There's one main line where it's the UC Universal Century, and that covers those 28 years. And then there's like, I don't even know how many spin-off series. There's 00, there's Wing, there's G Gundam, there's Iron Blooded Orphans, there's G Witch.
Isn't Iron Blooded Orphans the one you really don't like?
I'm pretty mid
you're
on.
You're kind of mid
on IBO.
Iron Blooded Orphan sounds like a goddamn Warhammer faction.
And you know what?
Or
that's probably about as close as you get.
A hardcore metal band.
Yeah.
We are Iron Blooded Orphans. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Gundam's like child soldiers. Iron Blooded Orphans is what if we took those child soldiers and killed them?
Neat.
All right. Dynasty Warriors.
Hard turn.
The Dynasty Warriors, what you see is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're the only competent person on the battlefield, and you're tearing ass.
Even in co-op, I felt like that applied to me.
Wow. Heck.
Look. Just because I died a few times because I went into the enemy base, was caught into all the guns, and all of them were aimed at me, and I couldn't get out because I didn't use a dash,
or
does it mean I'm bad at the game?
Just means you're stupid.
I just imagine, like, a cartoon. It's like somebody trying to sneak in, and they, like, a giant robot trying to sneak through the base. They step on a twig, and, like, all the guns point at you.
You joke, but more or less. I didn't realize that the area I went in was the base. You have to knock all the other areas around to get down to get into the base. Uh-huh. And I just went straight into the base because it was the next red area closest to me and went in, and I was like, why am I not able to, like, I'm doing damage to some things, but then I get stuck in because there's guns this way, that my character's just like the guns were juggling me.
It's really a canonical representation of what would happen if you were too slow and you were trying to fight ships in Gundam. Because the huge thing in the original Gundam series is that mobile suits were invented because they were meant to counter the philosophy that the Federation have, which is basically the same philosophy that the Japanese Navy had in World War II, which was big guns on big ships. And Zeon, the Resistance faction, who are the bad guys, sadly, they're complicated, were like, well, we don't have to worry about big ships. If we make the smallest target possible, really fast, and we stick a rocket launcher on it. And then you have stuff like the Battle of Loom in the very first Gundam series, where the Federation Navy showed up to crush Zeon, and it was the first time a mobile suit was used, and one mobile suit piloted by Char Aznable destroyed an entire Federation fleet in about 20 minutes.
Yeesh. Gundam.
Sorry. Listen to all that
lore. No, don't apologize.
I get one tangent that I don't stop myself in.
There you go. That's one. Tell him, Peter. Yeah, apparently everybody gets one.
I paid for this episode.
You paid to be here.
So, we talk about it's simple to play. It's pretty easy to grab to. It's fun. It looks good. Like, the graphics are real, especially those cutscenes. Like, I was just marveling that the cell shaded look to it. I was like, that looks like a modern game. Like
the cutscenes, I'm pretty sure pre rendered.
Yes, absolutely.
Because none of the characters you pick show up, but that's not a problem because pre rendered cutscenes are good. They're fine.
Yeah, because of the cell shaded nature of it, it looked really good.
Yeah.
Of it, and then the in-game graphics are good. Like, it's just fine. It looks good. Yeah.
The thing with, again, most Musou games, I have not just played Pyro Warriors. I've also played Hyrule Warriors and a bit of Samurai Warriors.
I like Samurai Warriors. That one was pretty fun.
Warriors. I have. Where was I going? The thing is with them, they don't have to graphically look great because there's so much processing power going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rendering hundreds upon hundreds of enemies at once, it's gonna be hell if you try and make all of them, you know, Unreal Engine 5 looking bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
every single enemy you're mowing down has ray tracing.
Yeah, you wanna play it on the fucking monolith from 2001?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Because basically, yeah.
I wanna play it on the government supercomputer.
That won't be able to run it.
Take me to NASA. I'm gonna
our government is incompetent enough to have a computer run it.
It's still using floppy disks.
I'm breaking into NASA to play Dynasty Warriors RTX Gundam.
Anyways.
But yeah.
So when everyone was breaking into Area 51 to look free the aliens, you were going there with a copy of Dynasty Warriors.
Held above my head.
Free the aliens. They were going for another F word, let's be honest.
I'm going to stick with free.
But yeah, again, a lot of the criticism that can be made for a lot of Dynasty Warriors or Musou games can be made for this one, but that also means all of the positives can be made for this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fun as how to play. It is inherently cathartic to take a big gun or a big sword and cleave your way through armies like hot knife through butter.
Yes.
And adding to that the Neanderthal brain of big robots cool also makes this inherently cathartic. I think that's how I can describe the game, is inherently cathartic.
I can get behind that 100%.
I was going to say, there's got to be like a part of your brain especially that plays into your love of Transformers.
You don't know me.
I remember when we played Gundam Battle Assault and I was complaining about the lack of Zeta, I mentioned transforming mobile suits and I thought I saw your eyes light up a little bit when you went, they transform?
A little bit, but that was more like a lawsuit. Wait.
Where is Optimus Gundam?
Gundam's in disguise.
Well, they don't necessarily, they're really bad at disguising when they transform. They don't transform into real vehicles. It's still Gundam's very much a Gundam.
Gundam's attempt disguise.
Oh,
we
God.
Can still see them there.
But to the point, the gameplay, its flaws, its highlights are all of the Dynasty Warriors. It's all kind of lumped into one. If you like this style of game, you're going to like this one. If you don't like it, I don't think this game is going to be the one that turns you into liking it.
The Dynasty Warriors games, a lot of them play the same. They all just have an additional hint of a different spice in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this has Gundam spice. Power Warriors has One Piece spice. And they throw in another bit of spice, which means some gameplay changes.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas, this has
you have to be careful with your wording, or else Jazz is going to start going off on Dune.
I was going to say, isn't that just how we describe different forms of autism? I got the Gundam spice.
I do have the Gundam spice, or the Gundam spice melange.
Anyways,
But there's also a different form of seasoning.
There you go. Okay.
There's another form where they add ability to gameplay innovations. Again, Pirate Warriors has the triggers, action things. Hyrule Warriors, hey, let's talk about a different one, has the items. The items are a big part of Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah, this fire rod that's like huge.
Yes, this game
does
has the fact that you can play as 120 different mechs.
I was going to say, do other Dynasty Warrior games have that sort of equipment thing where it's like you when you fight, you get plans? Like in this game specifically, yes. When you fight, you get plans for more Gundams that have more or less upgrade slots. And then you go to the lab and you build those Gundams and you kit them out with the upgrade slots that do different things.
Yes and no. For the most part, a lot of other Warriors games I've played have essentially every character has a skill tree.
Mm-hmm.
And, and you get little, like basically buttons. And you place those buttons there. Again, this is mostly Pirate Warriors 4 because, hey, that's the one I've spent 50 fucking hours on. And you insert them until you level up.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of they replaced a skill tree with, like, an equipment building. Yeah. But it's the same kind of concept.
I think there is a skill tree in this, too. Not, like, a conventional one, but in the under the character options, there is – when you go to the shop, you get the option to train – which will give your character more XP, level them up, and they get boosts to their attack mobility, their range attack, that sort of stuff. But then there's also, you can add, I didn't play around with this very often because I didn't get much time to, but there is like a tree where it's a menu of skills you can buy for that character.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's kind of the same thing. So maybe the Gundam thing is the more unique part of it.
Yeah, and I think that works because the Gundams are big machines, ultimately. They're all about maintenance. So I think adding that element does give it a bit more of that spice.
It also gives you some of that RNG things that you gotcha gamers out there might really like. There was a moment tonight where I had been
now talking. I agree with IGN's 4.5.
There was a moment tonight where I had been talking for a while. My first tirade tonight was talking about the Gaza Sea because I just like it. It's cool. It kind of looks like a bird. But I had been talking about it for a while, and I'm like, man, I keep fighting Gaza Seas. I really would like to get a plan for them so I can play as the Gaza Sea. And then one dropped, and I genuinely out loud went, oh boy, it's the Gaza Sea!
I was there for that.
Yeah, so that, was funny. That is something that the drops are seem a little random.
They super are.
Which, again, isn't necessarily a bad thing, but also if you're really trying to get something, yeah. Like, there is the randomness of drops isn't always great for unlockability, but in this game, it doesn't get to the point as bad as, say, like, Xenoverse, first Xenoverse is, where you literally, you know, it says, you know, complete this quest to get this item. Oh, actually, it's random. You did everything right, but sorry, you didn't. The random roll of a dice, you didn't get.
Complete all this, and you might get this.
The benefit that this game has over like other gacha systems is you don't get one at a time. Every mission early on, you start getting like four at a time.
Yeah.
But later down the line, as the difficulty of the levels increase, I had stuff when I played as a kid where I was getting like seven plans at once, and I was like, okay, I have to sell some of these because I have my plans are at capacity.
And how well you do unlocks more things. And because you've noticed, like, if you had a lot more points, a lot more kills and things like that, player one would get a lot more unlocks versus player two.
Yeah,
maybe
I was consistently getting four or five, and, like, when me and Mason were playing, Mason was getting one or two.
Yeah, it's one of those that it's not necessarily a great system, but it's better than some of those really bad ones that are out there.
I think it's meant to be, you know, you're great at the end.
Yeah.
I just want to go back real quick a little bit to something that Thomas just said. So you put 50 hours into the One Piece game?
What bad joke are you going to make about how long One Piece is?
I was going to say, so in One Piece time, like 15 minutes?
Ha! I fully expected a
That's comedy!
I was fully expecting that to actually get angled back at me for being like, hey, how much of this game have you played in total throughout your life?
Hey, Jazz.
Because that's not really a number I can give you.
It's not quantifiable.
The limit does not exist.
There was, back in the ages of, you know, Hollywood Video and Hastings and video rental stores, I would literally bounce between Family Video and Hastings specifically to rent this game. I would rent it for a week from Hastings, return it, go to Family Video, pick up their copy. I don't think a single goddamn human being in the state of or in the city of where we are got to play that game for probably about a month and a half when I was a kid.
There's some poor Gundam fan who really wanted to play it. Like, motherfucker.
Why is it always out at every location?
There's an autistic kid a block and a half over from the Hastings who just really likes the robots. I hadn't even watched Gundam at that point.
Wow.
So
was there like someone that was always like, oh hey Jess, your usual?
Actually, he recognized my dad, not me.
Oh wow.
So the biggest complaint I had for this game, I don't like the camera. And again, the
camera's not great.
The Dynasty Warrior games don't always have great cameras. That is a little par for the course. But
yes.
This one, I think it was when we were playing, it was a realization when Mason was playing a bigger character. Mm-hmm. Like his mobile suit was a lot bigger than what was there. The camera is just so close in on that it's sometimes hard to like consistently trying to all, you know, fight hordes and try to keep the camera, you know, facing where you need to be.
I think if we looking at this game like individually in a vacuum, yeah, the camera isn't that great. But also comparing it to some of the really bad cameras we've had in the past and are probably going to have in the future, I think it's fine.
I think the biggest easy fix for it is if the camera was just back.
Yeah,
it was just zoomed out a little bit, a little higher up. A little more of that kind of, not quite that like top down look, but like a little more closer to that.
You know what?
Third person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it could use? It could use a camera system, kind of like how a lot of simulation racing games use. Hey, I get to talk about my thing. That like
your spice comes out.
Yes. Where like the camera is set on one part where you start, but then there's like two other camera modes where it's like pulled far back for like bigger vehicles.
Oh, so like when you're playing GTA, like GTA 5.
Yeah,
you swap
yeah.
between first person, close third person,
so far third person. Person. Yes, exactly. That's what I was looking at. That. It's like
I think that would work. Yeah, and again, the camera isn't a detriment to playing. It just there are moments when it can get really annoying.
Yeah.
I also think it'd be because a lot of the ones that I play have like a driver's view where you have the steering wheel and the windshield and the dashboard and everything. Imagine if they did that in a Gundam game.
Oh, Christ.
A pilot's view.
I would be so happy. That would make any sort of gameplay so sickening for anybody.
I was going to say,
anything less than tolerance to play VR for 6 hours.
I was going
to
say, God forbid, you're swinging the sword and every time you swing, motion. I would probably hurl.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Like that's a lore thing too. Is that like a lot of people can't be Gundams because they're so fucking fast.
That's fair.
They're jet planes on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think the camera just a small fix. It would have been fine.
It's totally something that if this game had a PC release, modders would have fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have five different camera angles.
Another. On the opposite side, a positive thing that I really love about it is with all the characters also comes, and all the mods, the ability to play so many silly, fun characters. like, you know, Jazz and I each of us played Ball in one, which, again, wasn't good. We're not a good character, but
it wasn't fun.
It was funny.
it's one of those things where the fact that you can do that makes it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am a big fan of anime-based games that do allow you to do fun mix and matches, fun combinations, fun story things that you wouldn't see in the anime, but allows you to do more than just play through the anime.
I think of like What's that? What's the one Dragon Ball fighting game where you can play as like literally everyone?
Tenkaichi.
Tenkaichi.
Well, soon going to be Sparking Zero, but
I think about like that game where you can play as like everyone in the franchise and you can have these weird meetups of like characters that would never usually meet.
Can't wait for Sparking Zero to be like 90 gigs and it's like one character a gig.
There is actually a small complaint that I do have for this game on a similar line to that. And it's that the character interactions aren't great. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of what the character interactions are is it's almost formulaic. Mm-hmm. Each character has a certain set of lines that they will respond to certain characters with. I remember it most specifically, Thomas was playing Garadron, and we were fighting Full Frontal. And Full Frontal made some remark about how violence is the only way that he is able to create change in the world. And Garadron is like, don't be such a hypocrite! And it sparked a memory in my mind that when I played as Garadron in a campaign when I was a kid. And he uses that line all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once a mission, it's like, don't be a hypocrite! Don't be a hypocrite.
There's not really.
They were really trying to nail that lesson.
There's not really trying to specifically tailor every line to it. It's something that the Xenoverse games have a lot of the issue with it. You know, it's where you have Cooler saying over and over again, "But I have the big Getty Star allowed me to cheat death. How can this be? Yes, I have to fight 100 Meta Coolers in one fight. Why are they all saying this line?"
The only time it doesn't do that is when it's character from the same series. When Anavel Gato and Ko Uraki will fight, they will actually, I think, perform dialogue from the series. Like that's really cool.
Which is cool, but we sometimes go to these games so we can get the funny interactions. You know, you play the Dragon Ball FighterZ story mode because you want to see the funny reactions to when Vegeta and Nappa face off and what are they going to say, you know, how are they going to interact, and you can to get those different interactions.
Hell, that was like most of the appeal of Jump Force, I think, is people were like, that, ooh, how are these people going to...
Yeah, but at the same time, Jump Force and... Fighters is like 30 characters. This has 80.
And
again, you're not going to get it for every one of them because that's a lot of programming. We're asking you to do a lot of work on it. But there is something to that fun little interactions
and
that
you can see, like a small spark of that in the sort of visual novel things. There was a cutscene that I like literally talked Thomas and Sean through because it was Ko Uraki and Amuro Ray talking after they had done a fight with Gato. And because I was like, it's really funny because Amuro would know who Gato is because Gato, despite the fact that he's from the series where Ko is from, he knows Amuro Ray. He knows him by name because he was a legend in the war that Gato served in. And there is a line in that sort of chat, like that segment, where Amuro Ray goes, Anavel Gato? You mean the Nightmare of Solomon? Like, he recognizes him, and I genuinely kind of freaked out a bit. I was like, oh my god, that's so cool! Because, like, there's a way old game where Anavel Gato and Amuro Ray fight because they narrowly dodged each other. Gato retreated from a battle that Amuro arrived too late. They barely missed each other. And it's canonical that had those two characters fought, Gato would have won. He was a better pilot at the time, and because they missed that connection, Zeon lost the war. And it's like, you get to see a little glimpse of that, because Amuro Ray knows that. Amuro Ray's like, he's a crazy good opponent, I know that, because we both served on opposite sides in a war that is no longer relevant. And I wanted that for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, and again, which
there's 120 characters. There's lots of the, I don't expect them to be able to do it with all of them, but there are some little things that like it does. The repetitiveness also shows up in the characters where you would want more of. You're okay with the repetitive gameplay, but sometimes the repetitive interactions is like okay, but that is what you're going to get from these games because there's so much stuff being packed into this game. You're being like, hey, programmers. Huge. I know that Mason wants 17 games packed into, you know, making developers work from the end of time, but, you know, trying to pack it all into here, they'd be working on this game till the end of time.
Like, I'm never going to be let down for that.
No, frankly, because you pitched 17
frankly,
games.
Let me finish. Frankly, I deserve it.
The number keeps getting bigger. I've listened to that episode recently. It was 12. Mason pitched 12
games. 12, but then we counted them. It's more.
I guess you talked about spinoffs that you wanted to do. 12 mainline games.
It's just so big and long.
Like, my complaint there doesn't, like, it stands a little bit because, you know, they don't interact in the gameplay. But because this game also has the visual novel aspects, and it also has at least 6 campaigns. Mm-hmm. Because there's the campaign for a lot of the protagonists. Which is the one that we played through because we didn't unlock any of the antagonists as playable. But I only remember them based on colors because I was a kid when I first played this game that far. There's like a blue campaign, a yellow campaign, a green campaign, a purple campaign, and then those all coalesce into a finale. Like at some point in all those games, they coalesce into 3 more ending campaigns.
Really hoping it was just the rainbow campaign.
The gay campaign. It's just Shara Aznable and Amuro Ray.
We found the gay agenda. We found the homosexual agenda. It was in Gundam all along.
I knew it.
But
Gundam's always been a little bit gay.
I do definitely think that this game has a lot for fans, as if you've just listened to Jazz talk for however long on fandom stuff.
Sort of Jazz, I'm not sorry, I paid for this.
But thank God you were here, or else we wouldn't have had anything to say. It's been a 10-minute-long episode.
But the gameplay is fun for non-Gundam fans. The game offers a lot of stuff for it. If you're a Dynasty Warriors fan, as I say again, you're going to like this game. This game has a lot to offer, despite a lot of its flaws. And I think you can see where someone who, you know, maybe reviewed it at IGN that doesn't like this style of games is just like 4.5. But
that's there's usually like someone who likes these kind of games being a sign that they fuck up that day.
They're like,
they missed the memo. It's like, hey Jeff, you like Dynasty Warrior games, right? No. Well, too
bad. You like anime, right? No,
I actually just described the state of modern games journalism.
I have a similar explanation. Their Dynasty Warriors guy, he was sick that day. We need to get this review out.
The NDA ends tomorrow.
But I think as a whole, you know, you can tell that we had fun with this game. It was a fun, goofy game. It was a great game to sit down and play.
It's very fun. It's very nice to get back into this game after playing it that one time.
Yeah, I emulated it at my house once.
Yeah. It was more than once, I think. But
well, yeah.
But yeah, anyways.
But on this podcast, we ask 2 important questions of every game that we play. The first one is, how does it hold up?
Yes.
Gundam.
It holds up good.
It holds up really, really well.
It holds gun and damn quite well. Yeah,
no, the game holds up pretty well.
Yeah, Dynasty Warriors games age really well. Like, you can pick up the original ones and it's still, they still play well.
The worst things that age about the OG Dynasty Warriors is the voice acting.
Yes.
Because it's always been bad. Like even back in the PS2 days when we accepted voice acting being a little bad, this was like, oh Jesus, that's bad.
It's like there's a line here.
In most of the, and that's a thing that this game actually ages pretty well. There was only one time where I heard a character speak and I was like, oh my god, what the fuck is that? And it was mostly because it was Camille and I've watched Zeta Gundam like 5 times.
Yeah, they have different, because some of the older Gundam shows, they have different voices for them. And so there was a couple I'm like, well, okay, that's a different voice.
I'm really sad I didn't get to hear Char speak more often, because I remember his voice actor from when I played this game as a kid, and I love his performance.
And as someone who has no attachment to Gundam, the only thing I know is the kid with the red jacket I liked, because he had a line that basically equated to, all right, you a big man? Step out of your Gundam. Let's fucking box, bitch.
Yeah, guard rock. And then 20 minutes later, you were like, oh, actually, I hate this guy.
Because
when you select him as a character, he was like a 10-second speech where he's like, you have collected the great pilot, Garud Rod!
And I'm just like, holy shit, shut up.
I've made a mistake.
I did that once too. I was like, god, this is going on for a long time.
I think this game, it holds up really well. Like, it works well. It's a good game on the PlayStation 3 or Xbox 360. We played it on the PS3.
I played it on PC.
I don't know.
Leave this game, or I'm not leaving this game here. I'm taking it with me, but I don't have a way to play this when I go home. So it's just gonna sit on my shelf, and I'm gonna have to fucking emulate it.
R.I.P. But I think
why are you complaining? You still get to play it.
Yeah, that's true.
But overall, this game holds up really well. Like it really does. Mm-hmm. The second question we ask of every game that we play: would you like to see a remake or a reimagining of this game in a modern setting?
I'd say just do like Gundam Dynasty Warriors 4.
Yeah, let's all turn to the one person's opinion who really matters on this, Jazz.
Okay, well,
as if Jazz hasn't said enough.
I did want to wait for everyone else to get their input in because I imagine I might talk for a little bit on this.
Okay, then you know, hold on.
We'll go last.
Okay, Thomas wants a sequel.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at too. Like, I wouldn't be against like seeing this game on like a store on modern platforms, or as Jazz put earlier, putting it on PC. But in terms of like what I want, just another game, honestly.
Yeah, I think this formula has worked for decades. You can keep pumping out franchises, and I would play another Gundam game. I'd like a story. Another story kind of thing around it, and maybe I don't know exactly, make more of the story mode a little more interactive, or a little more like you feel like you're going through the story a little bit more until you sit down and play the actual missions. But overall, yeah, I would like to see a sequel. Probably would work best, but I'd be okay if they wanted to put the Dynasty Warriors 1, 2, and 3 Gundam on a set. That would be a cool idea. If they wanted to just remaster it, this 1 and 3 or 2 and 3 or whatever one they wanted to, that'd be pretty cool. I don't think a remake straight of this game though is something I would want. But
and if they did really make a sequel, the one thing that I would really like to see them translate, although I can imagine it would be pretty difficult, but I want to see it attempted at least, is doing the thing that I like watching. In the rare occasions when I do watch things from Gundam, translating space battles with the suits. I think
that is the thing that this game does not have. There is maps in space. They are set on colonies, but they are still flat ground.
Mm-hmm.
I thought one of the Gundam Dynasty Warriors came at space.
It does. I think it does. I think it's 2, but the space battles are the same thing. It there's no 3D plane to it. It is literally just you are on a flat plane. There's just no ground, and you're boosting instead of walking.
Hmm. But no, I would want more like you said, being able to like move around in space. I can imagine it would be hard to translate, but I want to see it done.
All right, Jazz.
Give us your doctoral dissertation.
Yes. Okay. So, I want a sequel to this because this game lacks some of the stories that have been told in Gundam. This game doesn't have it doesn't have Thunderbolt. It doesn't have Iron-Blooded Orphans.
Well, like, because what year did this game come out?
2010, 2011.
So it's missing out on, it's like
2010.
It's missing out on
2010 in Japan, 2011 in
thirteen years of Gundam.
In that time, I think we got a small sequel special to Gundam Unicorn, Gundam Narrative, and there's some stuff in there. We've gotten Thunderbolt, which people love. I don't really care for it, but that's just because I don't like the animation style. We've gotten Iron-Blooded Orphans, and we've gotten G-Witch, just in terms of like significant entries to the story.
Mm-hmm.
I want a game with those included in it. I also want I'd like to see this game with a more complicated control scheme, or like just more complicated gameplay, because part of what kind of holds this game back for me is I am really good at it. And so I kind of find myself... I'm not bragging.
I know.
I find myself like I want to play this more, but then I'm like, I'm going to get bored of it so fast because it is just the same. Square, triangle, square, square, triangle, square, triangle, square, square, triangle.
I think that's kind of the Dynasty Wars problem, though.
Yes, but like there's ways to add that that like we have seen. Thomas talked about the L2, like the more special abilities. Mm-hmm. The grunt suits in this game only have two special attacks. They have square triangle and they have dash square triangle. And like I would, there's the grunt suits that you fight show off different attacks that you don't get to do in those grunt suits. The ball has an attack where it literally just kind of rolls forward. The Gaza C has an attack where it briefly transforms and like lunges in. I would have liked to see those added to the movesets, and I think in a sequel you totally have the opportunity to do that. You have an opportunity to go more of the 3D style, because a lot of modern Gundam, this game was made at a point in time where most of Gundam has been dashy slashy, to say it in a stupid way.
Hack and slash.
To bring it down to our level, yeah.
Gundam hadn't hit the point where it was high mobility, except for with Gundam Unicorn, because the space fights in Gundam Unicorn are absolutely gorgeous.
They are.
You get these zoomed out shots of, like, I can think specifically Marita Cruz in the Kshatriya and Banaja Lynx in the Unicorn, and you see beam clashes. They're a thing in this game. It's a quick time event, and you get to do a little bit of extra damage. But in Unicorn, those beam dashes are done at high speed. And you can see, like, speed lines. And it looks like a fucking art form.
Yes.
Obviously, they would be kind of difficult to transcend into a 3D space. Mm-hmm. Because I would call this game pretty 2D. Because it's, like, you stay on the ground all the time. Game has a fucking jump button.
Mm-hmm.
There
is limited flight in it as well. Limited flight buttons as well as in the game.
They don't do anything.
The space fights in Unicorn are like it's like watching two people dance
yes! around each other. It's genuinely the most beautiful combat I have seen in an anime. Back to the opening fight in Gundam Unicorn that showcases a Kshatriya and its beam funnels. I can see Sean and Thomas checking the time, and I'm so sorry.
Keep going, you're already this deep.
Like, I don't want just a sequel. I want them to, both make a sequel and reimagine it.
The question would be at this point, then, you know, if they were to reimagine this game, it would have to be a different studio, because it would be, you know, it wouldn't no longer, in a lot of ways, would no longer be Dynasty Warriors, which is the thing.
I have kind of just talked about what I want from a Gundam
game. Yeah, fine.
What it seems like you want is, like, you want what this game was in its time, but now.
Yeah, I want all the advancements that we've had in gaming, to come together
and all the advancements in Gundam.
The
love of God, just make a fucking Gundam game. I don't want Gundam Overwatch. I don't want...
That is, it's a lot of a... Recently, a lot of a more arena-based...
We've got a new Gundam fighting game coming out now. It's Gundam Breaker. Gundam Breaker 4. And I haven't played any of the Gundam Breaker games. But it takes a more direction from the one Gundam spin-off series I dislike wholeheartedly. And it's Gundam Build. Because Gundam Build is what Pokemon is. It's kids build Gunpla and they fight in the metaverse, which is fine, but like it's not Gundam, and the direction that Breakers goes in. And
it's like Dragon Ball GT. Is that the one that's like a card game?
No, that's Fusion. That's Heroes.
There's several of them. I'm just gonna anyway, go gloss over whatever Mason just asked.
But it's like Sunrise has a huge property,
mm-hmm.
And it's almost like we've gone back to 1979, where they just kind of use it to sell the model kits.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is unfortunately kind of the way it is. I think as far as this game goes, and if they were ever to remake or reimagine something like what you're saying, or something a little bit more, and do a little more, that the thing that's great about this game, and it goes back to the first question, was that it held up really well, and part of it was it's graphically held up. You don't have to really spend a whole lot on the graphics.
Yeah, like this game gets there is a phenomenal lack of pop-in in this game for the amount of entities it is rendering mm-hmm. at time.
So, like, you could be more focused on the gameplay instead of trying to be, like, the most realistic Gundam graphics ever.
I would
ever.
Be happy if the game I have described came out and it looked like this game.
Mm-hmm.
I would be fine. Maybe do a little more with the pre-rendered cutscenes because we have that technology. But, like, I would be happy with that.
So, if you've learned anything today, Jazz really wants Gundam games.
I'm genuinely begging for Bandai and Sunrise and whoever, just make a fucking Gundam game. I don't want Super Robot Wars. I can't play Super Robot Wars. I just want Gundam.
Yeah,
and then Bandai's like 12 more Dragon Ball games, baby.
Yeah, Ben.
Even then, they aren't making that many Dragon
Sunrise
Ball games.
And Bandai, who are definitely listening right now.
Please. Yep. But that is Dynasty Warriors Gundam 3. What do you guys think? Are you a Gundam fan? Do you like Gundam? Do you like Dynasty Warriors? Let us know. Send us an email. bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. That's bleepyouplaying@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Or if you'd like to tell us to play a game, like Jazz did here, you can do that over on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatthebleep. Subscribing to our Super Bleephead tier, $15 a month, you can tell us to play a game or watch a film, and we'll do it. We'll do it. We do it quickly.
We'll do it.
That is the thing that we do. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Thank you for buying your way onto a second appearance of the season, Jazz.
$60 down the drain, let's go.
It wasn't down the drain, I enjoyed the song.
But thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with more fun next time. Burn it.